Yeah. And all the lovers of 90s music, you're just like, you're feeling it. You're feeling it. So anyway, this morning we're going to talk about, I think we probably should have started with this last week, but I just kind of felt like what we talked about last week was so foundational for anything else that we're going to talk about. So it's kind of like either or. So what we're going to do this week is we're just going to kind of define what love is. Because let's be honest, how many times have we said that we love things and we don't really love? Like love, like we love our shoes. Do you really love your shoes the same way that you love your mama, right? Like it's a totally different thing, and it just doesn't do it justice when we throw the word love around like we do. And it's so hard for us, like it is for me right now, to articulate what it is that we're trying to say, right? Like we really like it, but you don't love it. Like it's a completely different emotion. It's a completely different state of being. It's a completely different level of commitment. Because what we're saying when we say that we love our shoes or we love our car or we love our house is that we're very satisfied with that thing because of the way that it makes me feel until it no longer makes me feel the way that it makes me feel. And the second that it loses its luster and appeal, we don't love it anymore. So it was never love in the first place. I'm gonna try to stay white today. It's hard for me sometimes. That's just it. Like as soon as the luster is gone, so is the love. So it wasn't never really love. It was faux love. It was another emotion that we liked it a lot, but it wasn't love. And so I think just clarifying what is love is really helpful. And to do that, what we're going to do this morning is kind of do some comparison by contrast. Have you ever done that? Like you find out what something is by what something isn't? Do they still do the SAT? Or is that like, they change tests all the time. Like it used to be the tax, now it's the star, now it's the God knows whatever, right? And so on the SAT, when we were preparing for the SAT, there's the anonym and the synonym section where you have to, like, something is like something as something else is like something else, right? It's kind of the comparison by contrast. So that's what we're going to do this morning to start out with. But before we do, I want to start with the most compelling, powerful, ridiculously clear message of what love is based on the life of Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Not John 3:16, but 1 John 3:16. Both really good, but a little bit different. 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us." And that would be a great place to stop, right? I mean, that's good. That's good stuff. That'll preach. That's easy living. We can go home. Grace and mercy, it's all about me. But then it finishes with, "And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and our sisters." And we don't like that part so much, right? That's tough. That is tough. Like nobody finds it easy to give up things that you prefer for somebody else. Nobody finds it easy to kind of defer and constantly prefer other people to the things that you want, the things that you like. But that's kind of what Jesus said, and that's kind of what he asked us to do. And it's much more than just asking. He kind of told us. Like, there's nowhere it's like, and if it's comfortable for you or you feel like it on Tuesday, lay down your life for your brothers and your sisters, right? Doesn't say that. John chapter 15, verse 13 is another kind of angle on this. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends," right? Like, that's it. You kind of get the idea. Like, love is so much more. It's so much more than just, I feel good about this, so there's a really, you know, I have a great emotional response to it, and it's awesome. Like, it's so much more than that, because if that's all that it is, when the emotion is gone, so is the commitment. You'll see that? And that's kind of the world that we live in, right? Like, once the emotion is gone, or however you made me feel at first, in the beginning, when we were dating, or when we were on our honeymoon, once that's gone, so is the commitment. Like, a lot of people treat relationships like they do cars. You just trade it in and get a new one. Right? White. So this morning, like I said, we're going to do some comparison by contrast. What love isn't? This is really cool. I didn't know this. I heard this like a week and a half ago. Shelly gets mad at me because I go to Starbucks a lot. And so I use Starbucks. And I know if you're a Christian, you're not supposed to go to Starbucks or Target, but I do. And you are supposed to go to Chick-fil-A, but I don't. So I'm the worst Christian in life. So I use Starbucks as kind of like a second office. I go up there. And so all of the people that work there, they know me. They like, I walk in, they're like, hey, Chris, you having the usual? I'm like, yeah. Isn't that, don't you love that? Like when somebody, it's like, man, we should write a song. It's a place where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad that you came. Anyway, so I walked, we went through the drive-thru the other day, and one of the ladies, she was like, oh, you're not coming in today? And I'm like, no, we're busy, blah, blah, blah. And Shelly was so offended that they knew me. She's like, oh, what is that, your friend? I'm just kidding. It wasn't that bad. Like, she works at Starbucks, right? I go a lot. And what's so funny about that is Shelly gets hit on 37 times a day. Maybe an hour, I don't know. And I'm just like, you know, at this point, I'm like, whatever. But if somebody looks at me like remotely interested, Shelly's like, oh, no, you didn't. Anyway, so I was talking to a lady at Starbucks, and she was telling me she used to work at a bank. And she said, this was really cool. She said when she started working at the bank, they never showed her what real money looked like. They only showed her what counterfeit money looked like. So she could determine what the real thing was by what wasn't the real thing. Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. Okay. Is that beyond y'all? Somewhere in the middle. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at what isn't the real thing so that we can determine what is the real thing. So the first kind of little sub point here is that love is not infatuation. Right? Right. If you guys, we watch a lot of kid movies. Have you guys ever seen G-Force? It's the little hamsters that are awesome, or whatever they are, guinea pigs. And there's one part in there, and I can't ever get it out of my head. He's talking to one of the guinea pigs that's talking to other guinea pigs. It sounds logical. So a guinea pig walks into a bar. And anyway, he says, he's talking to the other ones. He's like, you guys are all idiots, right? And they're like, right. And so anytime I say right, I kind of expect you guys to say right, not that you're idiots. But love is not infatuation. And so I think there's a very determinable difference between love and infatuation. But they look very similar in the beginning, right? You ever heard of puppy love? It looks very similar to love in the beginning. And where you kind of get to see the difference, or where it starts to separate, is when the pressure is on. Pressure. 90s, baby. Y'all ain't feeling it. And so when the pressure is on, is when you get to see the difference between love and infatuation. Because again, infatuation is all about how they make you feel, right? It's a very selfish, and it's a very convenient for you, and it's a very conditional and predicated on what they can bring to the table for you and you alone, right? It's infatuation is all about you. That was kind of like the echo, but it didn't really take off. And so infatuation, it does have some similarities to love, but it's not the same thing. This is the definition of infatuation. It's an intense but short-lived passion or admiration for someone or something. Like, it's very intense, just like love is very intense, but it's short-lived because once you get out, you're not getting out of it what you anticipated getting out of it, then you're kind of done. As long as they don't make you feel the way that you want to feel, or you're not, you know, receiving the same level of emotional satisfaction or whatever that you were at some point, you're done, right? If things aren't going our way, or the other person doesn't make us feel a certain way, then we're out. And that's infatuation. That is not love. Like I said, infatuation is predicated on selfishness and only how it benefits you. And this is what I've noticed about when you kind of get to see the difference. When you find out somebody has faults and flaws, that's usually where it's, right? Because, man, we're so bad about this. Like, there is no Mr. Right. There is no, what do you call a girl that would be fitting for that? Is there Mrs. Right? Is there a Mrs. Right? No, right? There's no such thing. They don't exist. There's nobody without flaws. There's nobody without imperfections or idiosyncrasies. Like, every one of us has it. And when we're in the infatuation stage, they can do no wrong until they do. And then you're not in the infatuation stage. You're in the done stage because you were in it because it, with this misperception that they were perfect, and your reality is skewed. Like, you create a fantasy and nobody's perfect. They're just not. Just get it out of your head, right? Like, if, and this is what's so funny to me, is like, everybody's looking for like the perfect one when they themselves aren't the perfect one. But we're going to stop right there. So infatuation usually only lasts until you find out that they've got some flaws or they're not everything that you thought they were. And love is a little bit different because love can look at a relationship, can look at value in people in spite of their flaws. White. Just a constant reminder. If you guys, if I get a little soulish and you guys need to throw a white guy at me, just say, white. It's okay. It's different. Love is different than infatuation in that it recognizes flaws and chooses to love anyway. Like we've said a million times since we started Motion, love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. Love is a choice. Does it have all of those other things as well? Yes, absolutely. But it's a choice. You choose to love. Just like, I mean, let's go back to the example that we started with. Jesus said that you ought to lay down your life for your friends. You know that was his choice to do that? Like he chose to follow that path, to be obedient to the plan that God had for him. He chose to do that. He didn't have to do that. It wasn't based on emotions because if you look at the garden when before Jesus went to the cross, he didn't want to do it. Like emotionally, he was like, which who wouldn't be, right? But he chose to do it anyway because love is a choice. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, above all, love each other deeply. Because love covers a multitude of sins, right? Infatuation points out your sins. Infatuation makes a discrepancy in all of the situations that you've got or the imperfections that you've got, and it kind of that's what says, I'm not going to be in this anymore because it's not bringing me the satisfaction that I thought I was going to get out of it, so I'm done. So that's infatuation. Love says, look, I know you're not perfect, just like I know I'm not perfect, so I'm going to choose to look past and you know, get over the flaws or the things that you do that just drive me freaking nuts, right? Because sometimes that's how it is, right? You guys are all in puppy love. You don't know yet. You will. The second one is this, the second subpoint, and man, we could probably camp out here for 37 days. Love is not lust. Love is not lust. And we live in a world that kind of presents the message that love is lust, right? The numbers are astounding, staggering, whatever word you want to use to describe it, of how many sexual images we are presented with every day. If you watch TV, if you see billboards, if you look at magazines, like it's just on and on and on and on. But love is not lust, right? Right. Okay. This is a message that could be broadcast over the world over and over and over. Like, it's just something that isn't being heard enough, apparently. Because, you know, they don't have a problem presenting to us that love is lust, so we shouldn't have a problem presenting to them that love is not lust. But that's just my opinion. There's a great, big, huge difference between love and lust and love and sex. And so we've got to be clear on this so that we can communicate that to other people as well. It shouldn't be too difficult to point out the flaws in this thinking that love is lust. Because kind of just like infatuation. Like, here's the deal. This may come as a shock to you. Okay, this is a great example. Oh, I just thought about this. This is fun. How many of you guys watched Saved by the Bell when you were growing up? Saved by the Bell, huh? Oh, yeah. How many of you don't know what Saved by the Bell is? You can leave. There's the door. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you, right? All right, so we were watching. My kids love Saved by the Bell. Saved by the Bell is awesome. And so, like, everybody that was on Saved by the Bell when we were young, they were, like, the coolest people in the entire world. And I'm not going to name names or anything, but we looked at a picture of one of the girls that was on Saved by the Bell today. Ooh. Just rough. And so this is my point. Beauty kind of fades. Like, if your basis on the relationship is how somebody looks, they change, you know? Like, that happens. It's called age. It's called gravity. It's called wrinkles. It's called tanning too much. I told you we could spend a lot of time on this. I wasn't kidding. And so that's the major issue there. It's like, not only are they going to, like, this is how we do. We peak early, and it's a constant decline from there, right? That's the way it goes. Like, and if you don't believe this, and I was like this when I was a teenager, because, you know, every teenager is 10 foot tall and bulletproof, right? I thought for the rest of my life, I was going to be a stud, right? I'm going to be 60 and ripped. What? Yeah. Wait till you hit 30 and your metabolism goes dead. You'll find out. And so we peak early. But then it's kind of like you're on the downside. You're cruising downhill from there. And guys, Shelly says this, I can get away with it, I think. Guys are maybe a little bit slower than girls. Like a lot of girls kind of get there a little quicker. Shelly told me that, so you get mad at her if you're a girl and you don't like that. And so that's the primary issue, is that if you base your relationship or your love on the attraction that you have, what are you going to do when the attraction isn't there anymore? You quit. There's no more commitment because it was based on the wrong thing. And love looks past that, right? Being a youth pastor, Shelly and I were in youth ministry for 37 years or so. I think we were Moses' youth pastor. Right? That was funny. Being a youth pastor for a long time, you get to hear all of the typical sob stories of how somebody gave in to their boyfriend or their girlfriend pressuring them to have sex because they love them, right? And guys, maybe girls are the same way. Guys are good, man, smooth, suave, right? Girl, I love you. You know you don't. You want to get with her, right? And it's lust, not love, but it gets jaded and faded when the emotions are high and the hormones are high. So you hear these stories, and it's not just with teenagers. Like, that's the we always kind of, you know, say all teenagers are crazy. I mean, come on, turn on TV. Look at the world that we're living in, and for whatever reason, we condone and endorse because we watch the garbage. It isn't just a problem for teenagers. And this is where it's kind of gotten crazy. It's basically gone so far to one side that you're criticized or condemned or kind of made fun of if you choose to live a life of sexual purity. Like, they've got movies that make fun of virgins. You know? I mean, it's crazy that that's the world that we live in. And it's just insane to think that it's gone so far. We, as the church, as people who are trying to follow Jesus, and here's the deal. Let me just kind of clear the air and make all this. Like, we absolutely believe in forgiveness, but we're kind of old school. Like, we just believe that, I don't know, you shouldn't sleep together till you're married. And, you know, we're a young church, and I know that's a really hard thing. It's a really hard thing because we're a young church, and if you're young, you got a lot of hormones, right? Let's be honest, right? So we're old school like that. We just don't think that you should sleep together till you get married. And if you have, then stop. Wait till you get married or get married. Don't get married just so that you can sleep together, though. Because if that's the case, we're going to be lining up to do. I can marry people, but we're not doing it today. Counseling first, and then we'll talk about it, right? There's just so much to cover here, but just kind of the takeaway is simply this. Love is not lust. Love is not lust. Lust is a very visceral, emotional response to how something makes you feel. Love is a commitment that even if they don't make you feel exactly how you felt before, that you're still committed to them. And so that's kind of the simple takeaway. The third one is this, kind of the comparison by contrast continues. Love is not convenient. Like, how many people have you seen that are kind of in a relationship just because they're in a relationship? I'm like, why don't you go jump off a bridge just to jump off a bridge? Right? Seems just as fitting. Like, it's crazy. And then it gets to the point where it's like, it's not convenient anymore. And so you're out, you're done. And which is, that's probably good in that situation. Like, love, by the example that Jesus gave us, is anything but convenient. Laying down your life for somebody isn't convenient the last time that I checked. Right? Like, convenience is out the window. To lay down your life for someone else is probably the most inconvenient and selfless thing that you can possibly do. And this is what's funny, because I think we've probably done this in our own heads or in our own ways. Like, we say things like, I would be willing to die for Jesus. Right? I mean, I feel like, you know, somebody's like, hey, man, say that Jesus is stupid or I'm going to shoot you in the brains. Shoot your brains. I don't know, however they would say that. If they were at that point, they were probably on crack anyway, so they'd probably mess up their words. I feel like, you know, you hear the stories about the Columbine shootings, and maybe that was going on. I don't know exactly how it went. But I feel like in that situation that I would be like, you know what? I love Jesus, and just shoot me in the frontal lobe, right? Just wherever's going to be quick and painless or remotely painless, right? We say that like we would die for Jesus, but then we don't really live for him sometimes. You see the difference, the kind of the discrepancy? Like, we're so crazy emotionally committed to this that, hey, I will die for you, but I can't even live for you. And I think it kind of translates into our relationships. Like, we would say that, like, I would lay down my life for you, but you won't even take out the garbage for him. There's a mirror right here. Twice this week I got criticized for not taking out the garbage. Or I took it out halfway. I took it out and then set it by the door instead of putting it in the trash can. Love is choosing to live for the other person. This is not to contradict what we talked about last week. Like, God is ultimately at the center of the relationship. But you live for them by the things that you do, the way that you serve them. Like, Jesus was, again, the perfect example of this. He's like, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. I didn't come to have my life, you know, mean nothing. I came to lay it down for you, so you should do the same thing. And so I think love is just choosing to give up your personal preferences. This is the poetic portion of it, since everybody likes poetry and love, right? Love is making concessions and compromises that are at times inconvenient for you, but better for the two. White. Yeah, that's funny. Love is not convenient, right? So we're done with the contrast. Love is not infatuation. Love is not lust. Love is not convenient. So we're going to kind of shift gears to what love is. And this is going to be really easy and fun because it doesn't require anything of you, right? Love is so simple. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is referred to as the love chapter. It's kind of like the gold standard for love. Like, if you want to have a perfect relationship and you want to know that your love is, you know, perfect, this is how you would go and kind of use this as a litmus test as to how you're doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. It says this. We're going to kind of cruise through it, and then we're going to recap. Love is patient. Love is kind. We could stop right there, and we've got 3 years' worth of work to do. Right? It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Like, if we're going through mentally and doing checks or X's, I'm like, X. Oh, shoot. I just realized, like, once you get, you know, you can miss, like, 4 and you'll still pass. I'm at 6. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. That's what love is. Like, that's the real thing. Ain't nothing like the real thing. Baby, right? And so we're just going to kind of recap that. Like, love, first off, is patient. And man, you know what I've noticed about me, and maybe you're the same way, or maybe you're perfect and you don't have this problem, is that I tend to be more impatient with the people that I care about the most. Like, and maybe it's just because you're around them more, and you know, you feel like maybe you have the room to be a little more short and snarky with them, and that's just stupid. Why do we do that? Right? I heard a quote one time that I hate it, but it's so good and it's so true. Those that are closest to us deserve the best from us. That means they should get more patience from us than anyone else. Like, I'm patient with, well, I was going to say anybody, but like on the road, not so much. You guys are all good drivers, right? If that were the case, I wouldn't have a problem with patience. So, but love is patient. And I think in our relationships, if we have patience, man, you can get a lot more done, because it just creates a lot of issues when you don't have patience. And then you start fighting about things that aren't even the thing you were fighting about because you don't have patience. You get impatient, you get intolerant, and you, especially when you start bringing up old stuff. We'll get there in a minute. So the second one is this: love is kind. And I think kind of as a continuation of that, sometimes, like, I'm shorter with people that I care about the most. Like, I don't know, kids. Because, you know, you can only say the same thing so many times. And, like, I know 4 different languages, and I tried different languages, and it still didn't work. And then I know another language. It's called Derijitsu. And it works every time. Every time. No, I'm just kidding. Sort of. Love is kind. And I think it's kind of the same thing. Like, we tend to not be as kind to the people that we should be the most kind to, right? Be kind to strangers, absolutely. Be kind to people that you interact with on a very casual basis. But the people that are closest to you deserve the most kindness from you. And so if you have love in your relationship, you should have a great deal of kindness, or you should be aspiring to have more kindness in your relationship. This one is good. I think especially, I don't know, maybe guys and girls. I was going to pinpoint the ladies, but hey, I know some jealous dudes, right? Love does not envy. It's not jealous. So But we're going to talk about in 2 weeks. This is going to be fun. We're going to talk about kind of like maybe some of the rules of dating, marriage, relationships. Like, I don't know, if you're private messaging a girl on Facebook and you're married, that's a terrible idea. Like, you deserve to have your Facebook, like, I don't know, extracted somehow and become a tangible object and slap you in the face. That's just stupid. Like, you're just asking for it, right? So, but if somebody just, you know, you're a friend, you have a mutual friend, and they like a status that you have, don't fly off the handle and freak out on them because they have no control over somebody else liking their comment about you. Did you get the irony in that? I can just see how this would work. Like, a guy's like, oh, I love my girlfriend so much, she's awesome. And then some other girl likes it, and the girlfriend freaks out on him because the girl liked his comment about her. Like, love is not like that. Love is not envious. It's not jealous. And if you've got that kind of trust issues and level of trust issues, then you may not need to be in that kind of relationship. So love is not envious. It's not jealous. Love does not boast. Have you seen relationships where they kind of one-up each other? And that's just not a good place to be, because that's never ending. It's not healthy. There's no good that comes from that except for, I don't know, fist fights. Love is not proud. That's kind of an obvious one, right? Love does not dishonor others. And I think that's a good one. We're going to talk about honor next week. We're going to have an entire message about honor. But it's so funny to me how people in relationships talk to each other. It's huge, man. It's huge. Like, if you can't talk respectfully to the person that you love, what are you doing? If you love them, talk respectfully to them. Don't talk down to them. I mean, like, we do this sometimes, and I think we're all probably guilty of it to some level. It's like we talk down to people that we care about. And how foolish is that? Like, there's no good that comes from that. We know intuitively that encouraging people is so much more beneficial than discouraging people. And we still choose to talk down to people. And what's funny is when you start beating them down and you beat them down and you beat them down and you beat them down, and they get to the point where they kind of believe the things that you've been saying about them, and they start acting the way that you've been talking about them, and then you've got a mess on your hands. And I've already got all these ideas in my head, so I'm gonna back up. Right. Anyway, love is not self-seeking. Love is not easily angered. You want to talk about that one for a minute? Right? Man, again, you see in relationships sometimes where people just, they fly off the handle about stupid stuff. And what's funny is if we would just stop, we'd take a second, if you could kind of get them out of the situation, get them in different rooms, let's talk about this for a minute. You're about to freak out because homeboy didn't take out the trash. I keep coming, that's a good one for me. Okay, I'm trying to get some grace here, so just bear with me, right? Use your example. Homeboy didn't blank, fill it in however it applies to you. And you're about to freak out, right? Or you're about to freak out because she didn't whatever. And you would step back and you would look at it and you would have to logically think, why in the world would I get bent out of shape about something like that? Especially if you love the person, right? So love is not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love keeps no record of wrong. I sound like a broken record, right? Man, isn't that true? Isn't that huge? Like, isn't that necessary? In order for a relationship to be successful, that's got to be in play. Because if you constantly remind yourself and them of things that they've done, you'll never get past it. You'll never, ever get past it. And you know what? We've talked about this before, how unforgiveness, because that's essentially what it is when you keep bringing up the same things over and over. Like, you are unforgiving toward them for whatever it is that they did. You know what unforgiveness is? Unforgiveness is like you drinking poison and expecting it to hurt the other person. It's just foolish. It is foolish. It doesn't work. And so love looks past the faults and flaws of others. It looks past the things that they've done. And you've got to move past it, because if you keep bringing it up, you're never going to move past it, right? In fact, what happens, it's kind of, you know, it's one of those things that the longer that you allow it to stay around, the bigger that it gets. And by the time you get around to dealing with it, it is a gargantuan issue. So love keeps no record of wrong. Have any of you guys had, like, sinus issues this week? Okay, good. I'm not alone. Love does not delight in evil. That one seems pretty simple. Love protects. I think this is huge. I think as a guy especially, like one thing, how many of you dudes, you're like, yeah, I'm a man, right? And so nobody, wow. Thanks, John. You are a man. You are the man. But I think there's something in guys that is, chivalry is not dead, contrary to pop culture, pop culture's messages. Like, I think guys really do want to protect girls, and I think there are also ways that girls can protect guys. Shelly protects me all the time from saying stupid things. She's like, she gives me the look. Is it like that? Yeah. So, you know, like, for example, I have a tendency to kind of like correct and overcorrect probably, especially when it comes to sports and my kids. I don't know. Just can't shut up, right? And so, like, I'll be talking to one of them. She's like, yeah, you should have done this. You know, you should have done this. And she's just kind of like, and I'm like, you did good. You did really good. It's, she's protecting me from harming them. And I don't know. I think that's good. But I think dudes also want to protect, not just in the sense that, you know, if somebody looking at you wrong or, you know, Nacho Libre just popped into my head, right? He's like, "Why? Hey, don't you know this woman's a nun? I don't like the way those guys looked at you." So he wants to be protective. But it's so much more than that. Like, I think guys want to provide a sense of security for the person that they're with, the person that they care about. And I think that's huge, and you need to act on that. Be a protector. And it works, again, both ways. Love trusts. Right? Man, if you've got trust issues, like, you really, really need to work on those before you get serious about a relationship. Or if you're in a relationship, like, this is one of those things that I think that if you are in a serious relationship and you've got trust issues, you need to go to counseling. Like, and I'm not being critical or anything, like, talk to somebody, because this is something that can absolutely destroy a relationship. Because somebody can do the right things, be very well-intentioned, like, try to serve you, try to love you, and you still doubt them. And you know what it does to somebody that's doing the right thing and they get accused of doing the wrong thing? Like, man, it just destroys their ambition to continue to do the right thing. So if you've got trust issues, then I seriously, man, there are some fantastic Christian counselors in town. I think that's a great place to go. But love trusts. Like, you've got to give people the benefit of the doubt. You've got to assume the best in the relationship, not the worst. Like, and we're taught to assume the worst, right? Like, this is kind of the mantra, hope for the best, expect the worst. Like, and that's, man, in relationships, that's not good. Expect the best, hope for the best, and just be honest and realistic. Know that they've got flaws and issues, and they're not perfect, and know that there's an element of that there, but you've got to trust. Love, trust. The last, second to last one, do you know what? This is a good word. The second to last, another word for that is penultimate, just in case you guys were curious. Anybody know that? Fantastic word. Love hopes. Hope is such a fantastic word to me, because I don't think I would be comfortable living my life. I would be absolutely miserable in life without hope. Like, I've always, maybe I'm just like this ridiculously optimistic person, but I think it's so much more than that, because optimism is mental. It's something that happens in our brain. I think hope is very theological. It's something that's in our hearts, and I think there's a big difference between that. And I think love hopes. You always are ambitious, excited about the future, the things that are in store for you. And I think that if there's not that, you need to find a way to get that. Right? You guys are not as responsive this morning as I kind of anticipated. It's because I'm white. Aha, okay. So that's the second to last one. The last one is this. And I think this is a fantastic way to finish, because it's a theme that you're going to hear over and over and over. And it kind of centers around this word, perseverance, commitment, endurance. Like, love is in it for the long haul. Like, and this is not the world that we live in. Like, the world that we live in is kind of like, love is good for you as long as it's good for you, but then you can get out whenever you want. Like we said, we treat it like, you know, it's a lease. And it's not a lease. It's a contract, it's a covenant, it's something we commit to. And we say this is so funny. Like, how many of you would blatantly tell a lie in front of 300 people? Like, I don't think any of us would be comfortable. I mean, I hope you wouldn't be comfortable. I'm going to ask every one of you to come up here and tell a lie to everybody. Be a liar. But at our weddings and our vows, we say things like, till death do us part. In front of, you know, however many people are there. And what we probably, not us, you guys are fantastic, but other people, what they really mean is, like, till you get on my nerves, right? But that's not what we said. And that's not the heart and spirit of love and marriage. It's till death do us part. Love perseveres. You know, this is the thing, and we always try to be upfront about this and honest about this. Relationships are not easy. Like, the honeymoon is over after 3 weeks. You get 1 week of actual honeymoon, 2 weeks of getting back to real life, and everything's bueno, and then it's work. Like, it's fun. It's fun work. How many of you enjoy your jobs, right? Anybody got a job they actually like? That's what marriage is like. It's a job you actually like. If you don't know what that's like, just, I don't know, just get over it. You'll figure it out. But it's a job you actually like. It's something that you want to work at and put the effort and energy that it takes to make it successful. But it's work at the end of the day. It's perseverance. It's not quitting. It is commitment. On both ends, it can't be a one-sided thing or it's just not going to work. And so I think that's a great way to finish, is that if you want love in your relationship, if you want your love to be everything that love is supposed to be, then it's going to have perseverance. Can I recap real quick? I think that is so good. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. Love does not dishonor others. Love isn't self-seeking. Love isn't easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. It does not delight in evil. Love protects. Love trusts. Love hopes. And love perseveres. I just pray for us as a group of people. And what's really fantastic about this is, like, this is not limited to marriages. This is not even limited to dating relationships. I hope that in my friendships that I'm hopeful for my friends, that I'm protecting of my friends, that I'm persevering in our friendships, that I don't keep records of wrongs. I'm not easily angered. I'm not self-seeking. I hope in my friendships that all of these things are true as well. So any relationship that we have, like, this is the gold standard for our relationships. They should be filled with love, just like Jesus said, all the way in the beginning. I don't want to butcher it, so we're going to go all the way back. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters, if you're dating them or not, right? Which is creepy if you think about it. Don't think about it too much. And so that's what I want for us, like, in all of our relationships, that there would be love, especially now that we understand fully what love is. And so this morning, I want to pray for us to that end, that God would fill our hearts with love so that we can love one another. Father, we love you. God, we are so thankful for everything that you do for us. God, that we even know what love is because you gave your life for us. You showed us what love is. God, I pray that we would just take the love that you've given to us and that you continue to give to us. God, that you give to us on a daily basis. God, I love the way it says that you lavish, you pour your love on us so that we can extend that to other people. We can share that with other people. God, I pray that anybody in this room, God, that's married, that you would help them to have love in their relationship, that they would be protectors and they would serve each other, God, that they would not be self-seeking, that they would not keep record of wrongs, they would be patient and kind. God, and even people that are dating, God, that you would help them to do the same thing. There would be a level of commitment, God, that's not really common in the world that we live in. And even in all of our friendships and all of our relationships, God, help us to love just like you loved so that we can represent you well to the world that we live in. Jesus, we love you, and we ask all of these things in your name. And everybody said, amen.